Welcome to the AI on Action podcast, the show where we break down the hype and highlight the practical benefits of data science, machine learning, and artificial intelligence on our everyday lives. To subscribe to the podcast, check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, and any Android podcast of choice. Today's guest is Ushin Bordel. Ushin is the principal data scientist at SADAR, the Center for Applied Data Analytics Research in UCD. In today's episode, Ushin will tell us about his background in data science, some of the interesting projects that are happening at SADAR, and some examples regarding deep learning solving real-world problems. Later in the show, Ushin will discuss where he sees the future of AI heading, and then finally we'll talk about some of the advances made with explainable AI. You're listening to the AI in Action podcast with Mark Kelly. My guest today is Ushin Bordel from SADAR. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. Welcome to the show, Ushin.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your background and how did you get interested in data science, machine learning and AI?
Well, I originally did my undergrad in computer science at UCD. So I remember originally I was always interested in science, and I remember I wanted to do kind of a proper science like physics. And I went in a kind of general science degree where we did a bit of physics, a bit of computer science and some other subjects. And computer science was always something I was interested in, but I always saw it as a hobby and not something to be kind of seriously studied. So a couple of years into my undergrad, I realized, hang on, I really like computer science. Why not do this? It is a real science. So that's kind of the track I went on from there. So I specialized in computer science. I worked then in industry for a couple of years after my undergrad, but the kind of research angle on it was always of interest to me. So I came back to Dublin and did a PhD under Professor Barry Smith in computer science in the areas of web search, actually. So personalization and web search.
Brilliant.
Which was kind of in the areas of data, bringing that into that as well.
For those that don't know what SADAR does, can you give us a little bit of an overview and then also some of the interesting projects you're involved in?
Sure. So SADAR is the Centre for Applied Data Analytics Research, and we're an Enterprise Ireland and IDA-funded research centre, technology centre. And what we do is we work very closely with industry, particularly Irish companies and multinational companies as well, basically to bridge the gap between a lot of the great research that's done in universities in Ireland and in industry. So really applying those tools and techniques and latest innovations in real world contexts.
So tell us a little bit about the great work that you're actually doing with deep learning and also how deep learning can help enterprises be an intelligent company.
Yeah, well, I mean, deep learning is a big new area that's it's gaining a lot of attention. So we have a number of projects in deep learning at the moment. So one of the particularly interesting ones that we're sort of in the middle of at the moment and finishing up soon is around deep learning for so-called opaque data. So one of the challenges really with machine learning in general and more traditional machine learning is that in order to apply it, it requires firstly a lot of domain expertise. So expertise of that particular area that you're applying it in, the sort of the business rules, what the data means and that kind of thing. And you also need the expertise in the machine learning algorithms. So you need those two parts, and it's very difficult to kind of get those together. And that's why we think a lot of, you know, machine learning has taken a while really to kind of move into a lot of different areas. Whereas deep learning offers the ability to work on really raw data representations. And there's been a lot of work done where teams of deep learning experts have solved problems across a wide variety of domains where they had little or no domain knowledge, particularly there's examples from the medical domain. So we're kind of looking at that particular angle on it to really look at how deep learning can be applied in areas where that deep domain expertise maybe isn't available, and also the machine learning expertise and the deep learning expertise might be hard to get as well, and to kind of separate out the requirement to have both in sort of one team.
For people listening onto the show at the moment, can you give us some examples about some of the problems that deep learning has probably solved quite recently that can probably be very, very exciting for the future?
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of news, I suppose, in deep learning solving various tasks and things like DeepMind's AlphaGo in playing Go, and it's, you know, that was a task that people thought might be a good few years ahead in terms of when it would be solved by a computer. So we're seeing that, and we're also seeing it applied in a lot of sort of business and real world contexts as well. So a lot of natural language processing is being done by deep learning techniques now. So that's like supporting things like bots, like automatic analysis of kind of documentation of particularly in the legal domain, for example, and also in around call center scenarios as well. So, for example, machine translation, speech to text, and that kind of thing.
I thought it was fantastic because when you're going to be the chess player, it's one thing, but with Go, there's so many different possibilities of moves, and then to actually go and win that competition, where I think it only had 3 or 4 hours knowledge of, or maybe 3 or 4 days knowledge of how to actually play the game and the different rules that it came up with, that it was doing these incredible moves that people didn't necessarily see before, that people were scratching their heads thinking, why are they putting that that piece at the end of the board? That's so unique. And it was to see the impact that could generate in such a quick time was pretty amazing.
That's right, and it's continually improving as well. So even games it's playing sort of against itself, it's learning new new levels of detail in the game.
And it's playing itself like millions of times, which is just, it's truly incredible. I saw it on kind of an Atari game as well, where it was doing all these incredible moves that you didn't necessarily see were possible from before. So a lot of people feel that deep learning, being a subset of machine learning, is the future of AI. What would you believe? Would you think it is?
I wouldn't necessarily agree it's the future of AI. I think it's one of the aspects that's of AI and one that's particularly interesting at the moment because there's huge advances in it and it continues to kind of surprise people in terms of new achievements that can be made possible through deep learning. But I think it's only one aspect of, it's one aspect of machine learning, and I think machine learning is just an aspect of AI. There's a lot more in AI, I think, than simply a kind of machine learning view of it. For example, you know, when you get into sort of truly understanding sort of cause and effect and going beyond simple kind of, not simple, but the area of analyzing patterns and finding outputs and correlations with patterns. I think AI, you know, can be thought of as a much kind of broader concept than purely machine learning.
Do you think the publicity around AI is at its peak now?
I think it will continue to have more interesting applications that are going to hit the headlines and hit the news, and new areas where it's going to keep being applied, which are going to be interesting. I think there's definitely a lot more that's going to be around that. But I think AI and deep learning as well is becoming much more, we're getting more used to it being in our everyday lives. So I suppose the news stories around the latest bot that companies using for their customer service, for example, that's going to become just like using the telephone. It's going to be completely normalized. But it's these new innovations that are still going to make the headlines.
So tell me about the top 3 business use cases for deep learning that you believe in the next 3 to 4 years. What would your opinion be on that?
Yeah, it's I suppose it's kind of hard to say in a way because it's been applied in so many areas. And I think that's one of the real kind of explosions in the use of deep learning and AI at the moment in industries. It's just that it's been applied in so many different new areas that we're continually hearing of innovations where it's been applied to some aspect of a business that hasn't been thought of before. So I think it's hard to kind of say, but in terms of what we are seeing in Cedar, as a lot of interest at the moment from our company partners is very much in the customer care space. So analyzing the customers and understanding, and there's a lot of linked to text analytics and call center kind of analytics powered through deep learning.
It's fantastic to see that you might necessarily think there's a causal relationship between different variables, but it can actually just pinpoint something that could be so important for personalization, for people's different experiences as well, which is really exciting. Healthcare, autonomous vehicles are obviously on the news as well. One of the challenges with deep learning is the kind of black box, where you don't necessarily understand how it's coming up with its decisions or the decision logic. Do you see that as being a problem that would be solved quite soon or in the future?
Yeah, no, the whole explainable AI area is hugely interesting at the moment, particularly in the kind of from a legal perspective as well. So I think that's, you know, it's hugely important. I think there will definitely be huge advances in making AI more explainable because there kind of has to be from a legal perspective. I think there's a lot of legality around decisions being able to be explained in why they're being made. And that's just going to have to be the case.
Yeah, because if you're saying to somebody you've been declined for a loan because of these reasons, it's one thing. But if you can't necessarily explain how the algorithm came up with the decisions it did or how it actually went back, and there's no traceability, there's a lot of biases that could probably be imported into the decision, which could be a major concern for the future.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it's going to broach different areas where it's been applied, really. So in some applications, you just mightn't care why a decision's been made if those decisions are proven to be really good and really profitable for a company, for example. But then from a legal perspective around that, and in many areas, particularly when it's decisions around people, as you said, your example, for then that is going to be really important.
Tell us a little bit about some of the kind of the projects that are coming down the line at Cedar at the moment, and appreciate there's only probably some projects you could speak about that would probably be applied to people's lives that we can actually notice a difference.
Well, I suppose on the deep learning side, we're looking at a lot more training these models on different kinds of data sources. So it's not just on one particular data set, it might be on a certain data set and images and audio and a whole range of different types of data, so multimodal data sources. And there's many contexts where that could be used. So one of those might be healthcare, for example, where you have, you know, you've medical records that are recorded in a nice kind of structured format. You have imagery from medical imagery, and you've all these different kinds of inputs into that. And to be able to model maybe the health of that person or outcomes of certain diseases in a more useful way by taking in all these inputs simultaneously, I think is an area of interest. And there's a project in Cedar that we are about to kick off around multimodal data sources and deep learning.
The impact that could have to the user and everyone else within our ecosystem could be huge.
Yeah, and to go back to the medical domain, definitely I think that's something that would probably have the hugest kind of the biggest direct input, I think, on people from a society perspective.
Oisin Boydell, thank you very much for your time today.
Very welcome.
Thank you.
That's all for the episode of AI in Action. Hope you really enjoyed it. If you'd like to stay updated with all the latest podcasts, please head over to the website www.aiinaction.ie and subscribe to our newsletter to get the podcast delivered straight to your inbox. Finally, I'd like to take the time to let you know about the AI Awards, which will take place at the Gibson Hotel on Thursday the 22nd of November. The AI Awards is a not-for-profit, community-led initiative that was set up to celebrate the best of AI and data science in Ireland. It focuses to support the AI community by recognising the hard work and dedication of those working in the field of AI, data science and machine learning. It's a fantastic opportunity to showcase your work and skills to the AI community on the island of Ireland, and also help raise the profile of Ireland as a destination for AI investment. If you're interested in finding out more, go to www.aiawards.ie/tickets. See you soon.